The 1-1. Happ hits a ground ball toward the middle. Tough play for Lindor. Gloves it. Throws to first in time. And the Mets have beaten the Cubs in game one of the doubleheader. Lindor with that excellent range. The shortstop over on the right side of the bag when he gloved it. He quickly got the feet into a position to make the throw and fired to first, retiring Ian Happ. And the Mets start to celebrate their victory in game one of this day-night doubleheader. 11 innings, the Mets win it by a score of 2-1.
Now Polanco tattoos this baseball to right field. Home runs for Minnesota, 6 runs total, and the only thing that's gone wrong for Twins fans is that non-catch for that young fan. 6-0 Minnesota when Polanco makes it home.
Full count, one away, 4-3 Mets, bottom of the 10th inning. Great moment of drama at Wrigley. Thank you for joining us. The set and the 3-2. Ground ball to third. Loved by Escobar, steps on the back, throws to first, double play, and the ball game is over. A 5-3 double play, and the Mets sweep the doubleheader.
It's time for Hit and Run, Sundays from 9 a.m. till noon.
And typically, it is with Spiegel, but today, you get the utility guy coming in to help you. It's Gabe Ramirez. Right here, broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We're live and local today, as always. And, you know, it's rare because if your teams lose on a given day, it's only 2 losses on that day. Somehow, some way, there ended up 3 losses. That's what hurts even more. You get clips from 3 losses, and it just, as you're listening back to it, it just hurts your soul even more. But that's what we're going to do today. Talk some baseball, of course. We have producer extraordinaire Cesar Perez on the ones and twos. Bam, bam, bam. You're supposed to go, bam, 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 bam.
You know, it's amazing when the mic comes out and how your voice just goes into perfectly sounding fine. Because in our pre-show meeting, I was kind of worried there, but you sound great right now.
Now you're putting me on blast. Yes. You know what? Listen, sometimes you go out, you know, at night, the night before, and you're like, I got to do your thing. But the good thing is this, I got a full slate ahead of me. I'm over here at 670 The Score from 9 to 12. Then I literally walk down the hall. I'm going to be on B96 from 12 to 5. And then after that, Mas Flow, the music festival happening on the south side of Chicago. I'm hosting that until 9 p.m. Needless to say, my wife's upset, but it's going to be a good time today, all right? And the way I'm going to do it a little bit different than Spiegs, obviously he is an almanac of baseball knowledge. I am a true Chicago fan in terms of these teams, what they're doing, in my opinion. So I'll hold true to that throughout the show. But I'm going to start it a little differently. I'm going to do an unassisted triple play. That's what I'm calling it today. My top 3 storylines from the baseball world for us Chicagoans. First and foremost, I'm going to start with the Mariners winning 13 in a row. I know, no one cares. No one cares. No one's like, oh, the Mariners, like, oh, they're a hot team. They're going to go deep in playoffs. No, absolutely not. Despite the fact that they've won 13 in a row, they are still 10 games back in the AL West. If either of our teams won 13 in a row, first of all, we'd probably throw a parade. But to be the Seattle Mariners, if you're part of that fan base and you've won 13 in a row and you're still 10 back, at least you're in the wild card now. That's the beauty of it. But yeah, the Seattle Mariners, 13 in a row. And then you ask yourself, okay, well, because this is the first thing I did, Cesar. I said, have they beaten bum teams? You know, like, is this 13 in a row against, you just had some favorable series? Every team gets hot at some point throughout the course of an entire season. But when you look at who they won, it's a hodgepodge of teams. They took their last 2 against the Oakland A's at the beginning of the month. Then they went out to San Diego, 1-2 there, odd 2-game series. Then went home against Toronto and swept 4 in a row. Now, that's the impressive one right there. 4 in a row against Toronto, a team that maybe that's why they fired their manager, because they lost 4 in a row to Seattle. You ran into a hot team. What were you supposed to do? 2 of the games they won by 1 run. Then they go up against the Washington Nationals, sweep that 2-game series, and as of Thursday, they've won the last three against the Texas Rangers. So what do you think, Caesar? If you were to grade that 13-game win streak on difficulty?
Well, you know, I'm looking at their schedule right now, and it really, all it does is set them up, because the coming out of the All-Star break, they have six of their next nine are against the Astros, who they're chasing. And
Seven,
yeah, now that I look at it. Seven of their next nine is against the Astros. So, I mean, if they win all those games in a row, but then come back and then drop five of those seven, I mean, it literally means nothing, you know? And that's the craziness of baseball, I guess. It just sets them up to have a chance to do something, really.
And it's interesting because Seattle's been that team that has been hovering on the brink of excellence over the last couple of years, almost playoff bound, made some good moves at the deadline. So the team's in a position to do well. But then the season starts, and as a Sox fan, I'm very familiar with that. You have high hopes for your team because of what happened the year before, and then they just disappoint you. But Seattle, it's felt that way. 8 games above 500, but shout out to them. 13. Whenever a team wins 13 in a row, it's impressive. And as Caesar mentioned, they have a tough stretch to end the month out. But if they can, you know, I mean, 10 games back is tough. At this point, you're just hoping you make the wild card. Not if the Sox have anything to say about it, baby. Which leads me to my second out, or you would say, of my unassisted triple play. But first, I'm going to go to the north side. The Cubs losing the doubleheader. That one's tough. As a Cubs fan, Caesar, that's the good thing about this balance here on the show today. Are you disappointed at the effort, or are you just kind of shrugging your shoulders and saying, yeah?
It's entertaining to see them play close games with the expectation knowing that, you know, they're not really playing for the postseason or anything. So to see them, I guess, be a scrappy young group as they're kind of turning into, it is entertaining. It's nice to see. I mean, even if the wins aren't coming, I guess you find yourself at a point as a fan where you're looking for the little victories. You know, what did Christopher Morel do? How did you know, if Jordan Wicks comes up, how did Jordan Wicks pitch? Stuff like that. Is what you're looking for. You know, you're not really looking to see, did we win the series? Because, you know,
that's a crappy position to be in as a fan base.
It is.
Where you're not even worried about the outcome of the game. You're worried about the race within the race. You're watching NASCAR now. You're no longer watching Major League Baseball. But Cubs dropped the first one, 2-1. And unfortunately, in the 11th on the first game, you know, that's where it all went to crap with Pete Alonso, a guy who's going to be inside of the home run derby, taking the lead for the Mets. Okay. And the 11th hit a sac fly. That's how they ended up taking the lead. And you saw Francisco Lindor. I mean, geez, I love watching him play. You know, whenever you can put your eyes on a fantastic Puerto Rican middle infielder that's out there as exciting as he is. But again, you're talking about them taking it in the 11th. It would have been cool to see. You know, and the other thing too, you're right, though. There's small victories. When you're looking at pitching, we're going to have a guy on 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock. I'm sorry, Zach Kroll. He's a New York guy. And this is what he told me as I was talking to him earlier in the week. He said, Mets can't wait to see Marcus Stroman, which I thought was funny. I would think they would care less. You're on the Cubs. I don't care. But needless to say, they were looking for him, but he did well. In 4 1/3, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks, only gave up 1 earned run, and 1 hit. 1 hit in 4 1/3. Marcus Stroman handling the New York Mets. Unfortunately, they had an equally impressive performance by Tuan Walker, 6 innings, 5 Ks. He only gave up 1 run. It was a good game. But again, Cubs lose the first one of that doubleheader, and then second game, doubleheaders on a Saturday is tough. That's not what you want to be doing. Second game, 4-3. Cubs had it tied at 2 going into the 10th, and then unfortunately, the Mets put 2 on the board in the top of the inning. Cubs get some help from Christopher Morel, had a base hit to get that extra run, but then, of course, the double play, ending the game for the Cubs. I guess I just look at that one as from a Chicago standpoint, and that's the team you're looking at as the measuring stick. That's what I think of, particularly when you're inside of this series against that team, because against the Mets, because you're saying to yourself, okay, we're not making the playoffs. Mets are atop the AL East. Only 2.5 games up on the Atlanta Braves, but at the top of the... So you're saying to yourself, how are we going to fare? And I think they did a great job, like you said. Against one of the best teams in the National League, they held their own. And if you're talking about that second game, I mentioned the fantastic pitching performance from Marcus Stroman in the first game, and you kind of got more of the same from Drew Smyly, 4 1/3. Equaling the output of Stroman in the first game, 4 1/3, struck out 4, only gave up 1 earned run, but 2 runs in total. You know, and Drew Smyly is a guy that you've kind of been depending on all year. Wouldn't you say, Caesar? You look at him to eat up some innings, but also to be a guy that you're watching to say to yourself, is he going to be a part of this organization for the next couple of years?
He's definitely a guy they depended on for innings when they signed him in the offseason, which he hasn't been around all year, so he hasn't been able to provide those innings they were wanting him for. But he's definitely a guy that they want to go out there, even if he's getting rocked, give me 6, give me 7. We need those innings out of you. And you're a baseball guy, Gabe. Mm-hmm. You need pitchers that are just going to eat up innings. That's part of having a rotation. Maybe their ERA is above 4 or above 5, but guess what? Every time he touches ball, every time he goes out there, he's...
gives me a chance to win.
Yeah, he's out there for 6 or 7 innings. I think really that's what they're looking for Smyly. Give me 7 innings. Give me a good 7 innings. Let me give the pen a day off. Hey, we might be losing 6-2.
Sure.
But you're going to go out there, you're going to throw 120, you're going to stay in the game, and you're going to give my bullpen some time off. I think that's exactly the role they're looking for Smyly to fill.
I see them saying also, we want you to throw your actual arm with your last pitch, just because that's what we want from you. Absolutely everything. Unfortunately, didn't give the bullpen a break. Anderson Espinosa, 2 2/3. Scott Efros, an inning. Steven Brault, an inning. Michael Givens with the loss, 2/3 of an inning. And then Daniel Norris wrapping up that last run, last inning. I mean, it's tough. Unfortunately, they ran into a bulldozer. Max Scherzer, 6 1/3. He struck out 11, what you would expect from a guy like Max Scherzer. Only give up 2 earned runs, but that's what you're talking about, where the hope is that you're going to eventually field a team that is going to be able to give you more than 2 runs, so that way you're not in this position, because you wouldn't be in extras if that were the case. But Yan Gomez with his ground rule double in the second, ended up scoring a run, and then, of course, Yan Gomez back around again in the fourth inning, singled in Patrick Wisdom to get those 2 runs. So Yan Gomez is who you want against Max Scherzer most definitely. But, again, it was a measuring stick, kind of a doubleheader, and I think the Cubs did a fantastic job battling it out. Which takes me to my third out of my unassisted triple play. We're going over to the south side. Well, actually, you'd go up north to find out where they were playing in Minnesota, but it's about Lance Lynn. And the third take is that Lance Lynn is bad. And what's interesting is that myself and Shane Reardon, executive producer of Parkinson Spiegel, him and I, we do a Southsiders podcast here for the Odyssey Network and 670 The Score. And on Thursday, right when the Sox had won, Cueto pitched the gem. And we open up the podcast. He asks me how I'm doing. And I say, you know what? I'm going straight to the cheese right now. Lance Lynn will not be on the White Sox playoff rotation. This is before yesterday, guys. Shane looked at me like I killed his dog. He's like, are you serious? He's like, what are you laughing at me? Literally laughing. We're going to play the clip in a second. Literally laughing at me. Dave, what are you talking about? You're an idiot. And I said, listen, whatever. I'm told to give my opinion and what I think in my heart of hearts. And as a Sox fan, Lance Lynn is bad and he will not be on the playoff rotation. Now, Caesar, before he could answer and give me a true rebuttal, this is what I told him. I said, before we get to Lance Lynn and your thoughts on him and your counter argument, I said, the question I have for you is, are you going with a 5-man rotation in the playoffs? No. And I cut him off and I said, the answer is no. You are not going with a 5-man rotation if you make the playoffs, if you're the Chicago White Sox. And I said, first and foremost, if you're lucky enough to make the wild card or win your division, you're only going to be doing a 3-game series. And if that's the case, you have Gio, Cease, and Kopech. And if you're fortunate enough to win that series, game 4, you are not going to Lance Lynn. You're going to Johnny Cueto, the guy that's been absolutely dominant for you over the course of the last month and a half.
I think that's the key, right? Over the last month and a half, there's still like a whole second half left.
And that's what he said. He said, it's July 14th, Gabe. It's July 14th. I said, okay. And I said, and then after Johnny pitches, what you're not going to do is give the ball to Lance. Then you're going back to Dylan Cease. Or he might start game, like, depending on how the rotation works out, he might be starting game 1 of the second series. Lance Lynn isn't going to touch. He's like, crazy. Then we start getting into it. Then yesterday, I love this. I get to read a text message from Shane Reardon. So he ends up texting me yesterday after the first couple of innings. And then absolutely says, as you can see right here, let me just pull his, he goes, you jinxed it. He said, you effing jinxed it. It's actually what he texted me. And I said, jinxed it or predicted it? Lance Lynn giving up 6 runs in his first 3 innings, all by the long ball too. We're not talking about manufactured runs. You put the ball where they just absolutely crushed it. And it's what he's been doing for the entire year. He had 1 good outing against the San Francisco Giants because he's pitching on the West Coast. Outside of that, duds. No shade at Lance Lynn, but like you were saying, Caesar, earlier, you're an innings eater. We saw what happened when you were at the top of the rotation for the playoffs for the Chicago White Sox last year, and it didn't end up well. And now that you got 3 guys pitching for you in Giolito, Cease, and Kopech, and Cueto pitching the way he's pitching, I don't see Lance Lynn touching the mound if they do make the playoffs. But the question is, will they? And to answer that, on the other side, we are going to be talking to Lamont Pope, my guy from the Chicago Tribune. He covers the White Sox. And I wonder how he feels after these first couple of games against the Minnesota Twins. How will the White Sox fare? And will they make the playoffs? We'll ask him next. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Hit and Run on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
Gabe Ramirez, pinch hitting for Mr. Spiegel today. He got a good voice, man. When you hear him, I know you guys feel this. If you guys are true fans and you're sitting here listening to Hit and Run, you got to love the voice that speaks. Now, I'm not talking about the singing one either. I'm talking about the golden pipes here on 670 The Score. We are live and local today, of course, talking baseball until 12 o'clock. These White Sox, 4th in batting average in the league. It seemed as though the bats were starting to come alive, but no amount of hitting can make up for some poor pitching. And that's what you got yesterday from Lance Lynn. Yes, I said it earlier. I genuinely feel as though he will not. I know. You can argue with me all you want. But if I'm Tony La Russa and I'm looking at that rotation going into the playoffs, I know. I'm assuming there. But I'm a fan, so of course I'm going to assume that the White Sox are going to make the playoffs. Batting's doing all right. Pitching just needs to come around a little bit more. Lance Lynn, our producer, Cesar Perez, said it. She's got to be an innings eater for the rest of the season. But I don't know how many more opportunities he's going to get. I got to be honest. I do not know how many more opportunities he's going to get. When you see gems being thrown by Giolito, by Cease, by Cueto, and then you see Lance Lynn come out in the first couple of innings and just give up some bombs, 6 runs in the first 3 innings, all off of home runs. Can't say that enough. And I understand. You're like, it's Lance Lynn, though, Gabe. We shouldn't be talking about him like this. Of course he's going to make the playoffs. He's the backbone of this. I get it. But he's 1-3 with a 7.5 ERA. His last couple of outings, the only one you can point to that was good this year, I'm talking about this year, the whole year, is this one game against the San Francisco Giants where he pitched a gem. Outside of that, Caesar, let me just tell you the runs he's given up in this season so far, every game he's pitched. 6-8-5-6-5-3. Bro. That is not bro. But you know what? There's someone that we can actually ask about that. If he thinks he'll be on this playoff roster. And he's joining us right now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is a writer for the Chicago Tribune. He's one of my good friends. Lamont Pope, I'm so glad you're here, dude. You know I love hanging out with you, man. What do you think about this situation with Lance Lynn and my bold prediction that he's not going to make this playoff roster? Or not, maybe not the roster, but he's not going to get a start in the playoffs.
Good morning, Gabe. I mean, you know, Lance realizes that he's going to have to be better. Coming on back from the injury, like you said, the start against San Francisco was a positive sign. And then the last 3, and it's been early damage that's been done against them. The start against Cleveland on Monday, 5 runs in the first. I think he entered yesterday's start with a 12.00 ERA in the first inning. And so, and that start against Cleveland, obviously it wasn't a ton of hard contact in that first inning, a couple infield hits, broken bat single. But you know, but it's still 39 pitches, and that you know that prevented him from going you know, deep into that ball game. And then the start yesterday, you know, first batter hits home run, and then like I said, you know, he said after the game, you know, the three pitches equaled six runs, and he knows that that he's got to keep the ball in the ballpark in that sort of situation, and so you know, with this break coming up, you know, he said that they've worked on some things mechanically, and he feels that you know, the process of working to get on back, getting back, and then trying to perform as well. You know, I think the break has come in at a good time for Lance.
I don't know. He's just not a spring chicken anymore. I'm older than him, but I know I'm not a spring chicken, so I know he's creeping up behind me shortly. I just, you know, it's tough, Lamont, because you're watching this team and you have such high hopes for them. And then you get on this small win streak. And in your heart of hearts, you want him to do well. In your heart of hearts, you want him to continue the hot streak that the White Sox have had. And it's just, it's heartbreaking to see, because then you say to yourself, Lamont, you're like, how much more of this are we going to allow? Are we going to allow him to get on the bump every 5 days and just give up, you know, five or six runs? There's got to be a moment, like you said, where he has this break, but I say like two more starts, if he does the same thing, they're going to do something where like, oh yeah, rest your hammy. We're going to give somebody else a spot start. And then what happens then? Then you give him another opportunity. I guess I'm concerned about him. You know, I'm concerned about him. So I'm trying to find where's the silver lining in the Lance Lynn trajectory for the rest of the season.
I think the silver lining is the track record, right? I mean, you know, the last three seasons being a getting some of those for Cy Young awards. So the recent track record is there. It's all about just putting it all together. You know, I think that the Sox realize, and he realizes that, you know, if this team is going to be contending in the AL Central, he's going to have to play a pivotal role in this thing. You know, you're taking a look at the rotation as a whole. You know, particularly in the second half, there's going to be a time where you're going to have to start monitoring. I mean, they've been monitoring Michael Kopech's innings anyway, but that's going to be a little bit more of a focal point as well in the second half. And so you're going to need your starters as a whole, as a group, to go deeper into games, you know, so you don't wear out this bullpen, which has performed really well, particularly recently, when they have things lining up with the way that Kelly's thrown the last couple of outings. Ronaldo Lopez has been tremendous in his role, Graveman, and then you get the ball to Liam. And so if you can get a situation where you can get to the sixth or the seventh and you can line those guys on up, then you're in pretty good shape. But they know that overall as a starting rotation, the talent is there and they have to kind of get deeper into games. And that includes Lance. And, you know, again, I think the track record sort of speaks for itself. And that's why I'm more optimistic, I guess, than you.
Yes, very much so. He's Lamont Pope from the Chicago Tribune. I'm Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel today on Hit and Run. This is 670 The Score. As you and I have had the luxury, of talking to you before some big series that the Sox have had. Going into this one, did you have high hopes prior to, you know, the Sox winning the first couple of games? Did you have high hopes, or were you just kind of like, I'm here for the show. I'm just along for the ride, and I'm going to take whatever is in front of me? Or did you kind of say to yourself, you know what, I think they're going to be able to, you know, get out of this hole they've dug themselves, and they're going to go ahead and win a couple of these games?
I've been waiting for that type of consistency, Gabe. I mean, it's sort of like you saw a little bit, you know, earlier in the season. You get to like June, you win two or three against the Rays, and it's like, all right, well, this is the time when things are going to turn around, and then it doesn't. And then you take two or three out of against the Blue Jays at a guaranteed rate, and they're like, all right, well, this is the moment that things turn around, and then it doesn't. So they win the final two games in Cleveland, really strong pitching, and so it's like, well, can they kind of carry that momentum on over into the Minnesota series? And obviously they haven't had a lot of success against either Cleveland or Minnesota this season. And if they're going to win this division, obviously they got to, they have to start producing against these two teams. The big moment on Thursday night, the grand slam by Luis Robert, that sort of, to me, it could have been one of those moments where, all right, this team is, you know, kind of sparked. You know, it seemed like a big moment. And then for them to back it on up the next day when Luis leaves early with headlightness and then you're just headedness. And then Adam Engel comes on in and he hits a 3-run homer in the seventh. It's like, all right, well, that's a little bit of the things that you saw last year when someone went down, you know, there was someone there that was able to kind of step on in and play a big role and get the big hits. And so you're starting to see, you know, from the White Sox fans' perspective, you're starting to see maybe some of those signs of this team kind of putting it together. You know, you talked about the offense a little bit earlier. It's, you know, you're starting to see a little more production from that standpoint, getting some home runs, getting, you know, scoring a little more runs. And so, you're starting to see some signs. And so that's why I think today's an important game from the standpoint of going into the break with a little more momentum. You got Dylan Cease on the mound. If you can take 3 of 4, get back within 3 games going into the break and be 500, I know it's what no one really expected going on into the season. If it was like, man, the White Sox are going to be at 500 at the All-Star break, you know, it would be a very disappointing season, and so far, overall, it has been. But the fact that if they can win 3 of 4, get to the 500 mark, get a little bit of momentum going into the break, and then coming out of the break, play Cleveland 4 in 3 days, you know, that's a chance, once again, to kind of continue to make some hay here in the AL Central.
I think momentum is the key word you said there, Lamont. And I think the Sox are definitely looking for it. And, of course, Dylan being a great guy to continue with that momentum, going up against Chris Archer today. It's a game that I feel like it should be winnable, but why do I feel in my heart of hearts that I'm waiting for the Dylan Cease bomb game? You know, there's always one of those that exists, right? You in your heart of hearts, you want him to just pitch gems for the rest of the season, but you know one's going to be there. Is today going to be that game, or are we going to get the Cease that's been dominant and continuing to go up the ranks of the AL Cy Young odds makers? What do you think is going to happen today?
You know, I was really impressed with his most recent start against Cleveland, particularly because, you know, it was the only human for someone who's put up all-star numbers, who should be going to Dodger Stadium, to be disappointed when you're not selected, right? And like, you know, it would be only human if that became a distraction for somebody. But the way that he was able to go on out there, big, you know, big series, the team had lost a couple games, and for him to help the team sort of turn around and with that pitching performance, I thought that was pretty impressive. And so, you know, he's been that type of pitcher all season long. And so, you know, I believe, you know, in this sort of big spot that he can rise to that occasion once again. So, you know, I think it's a situation where you got the right guy on the mound to try to take 3 of 4. You know, obviously the batting lineup, you know, you're probably not going to have Robert. You're probably not going to have Eloy. So you're going to have to find other ways for power sources or other ways to produce some runs. That's an added bonus added reason why you might have to lean on Dylan a little bit more today. And I think that he's going to, you know, be able to rise to the occasion.
It's crazy when you're looking at, and I like to gamble, Lamont. So when you're looking at the pitching props for Dylan Cease, the over-under for strikeouts is 7.5. 7.5. You got a guy's over under for strikeout 7.5. You don't put him in the All-Star game. You're so confident that he's going to get up to that number and you don't put him in there. It's blasphemous right there, Lamont. Let me ask you this as well. I mean, obviously Sox, I mean, if you look at any stats and any metrics, you see how poorly they're playing at home versus on the road. Why do you feel like there's such a discrepancy there? Do you feel like there's less pressure for the White Sox when they're on the road and more at home?
It's been stunning. I mean, you know, obviously, especially considering the success that they've had at home, you know, the last couple of seasons. And so for them to not be able to kind of duplicate that this season has been really one of those oddities to watch. You know, we asked Tony DeRosa about that yesterday. One thing that he mentioned is like, well, it seems like, and I haven't really broken on down, but it just seems like they've had more of their regulars are more healthy. You know, they've been more healthy during the periods when they've been on the road. That was one of the things that he said. And so that's one thing I have to kind of take a look at when I kind of break that down a little bit further. But it's, you know, it's one of those things that, again, if you're going to be a playoff team, you got to win at home. And you know, again, when they were having a ton of success last season. I mean, they were one of the top teams in baseball as far as winning percentage at home, and they know that they have to be better at home, and especially, you know, given these opportunities. Minnesota's going to be coming on in a couple times. You know, like I said, right off the bat, you get Cleveland coming on in after the All-Star break. And so some opportunities to play some of these AL Central other contenders right off the bat in Cleveland's case. And you got to take full advantage of that when you're at home. But it's really been surprising to watch the team not have that success at home this season.
It's been so surprising, Lamont. We're talking to Lamont Pope of the Chicago Tribune right here on 670 The Score. It's Hit and Run, usually with Matt Spiegel. Today we got Gabe Ramirez, myself, filling in for him. You know, we were talking about the inefficiencies at home, and you can point to a couple of players. You know, Andrew Vaughn, his batting average at home, .230. Away, .349. That's a crazy discrepancy right there. You're talking about a guy that should be sent down to the minors when he's playing at home, and a guy that's like in the running for MVP if you're batting .350. Away. It's just, you know, those things are interesting. And you're looking at a guy like Vaughn. Something that I've said since the beginning of the season is I would have loved him in the sixth hole. I know Tony was batting him second for a while. And for me, it just was because he was one of the White Sox most productive hitters. He was at the time when they were in that dry spell. And I said, his hits do you no good if he's not bringing nobody in. Put him in the sixth. Some of these guys are going to get on. Put him in a position to be the RBI guy. And then finally, over the last couple of games, or the beginning of the series, I should say, against Minnesota, he ended up producing from the very first inning in that sixth hole. Lamont, how do you feel about Vaughn in the sixth hole, and do you prefer him in the two?
Well, those lineup constructions are always interesting, right? You know, it's a situation where when you have a team that's at full strength, I typically top hitters or more, you know, the most productive hitters tend to hit higher in the lineup because they get more chances at bat, which gives them more opportunities to get on base. You know, if they're not driving in the runs, they're getting on base and having the opportunity to score runs. The more chances that Tim Anderson or Andrew Vaughn gets the chance to bat, that's my preference. But it's also a case of where, you're trying to figure on out, obviously this lineup for the most part is going to be stacked with right-handed batters anyway, but you know, you want to have some sort of balance, take that into consideration, what you may do. And when you see, you're starting to see Johan produce a little bit more. When you have that opportunity to kind of break things on up, when you have a chance to kind of lengthen that lineup that everyone thought would be from top to bottom super productive, that's better overall. But yeah, I think if I'm kind of sort of constructing a lineup, I try to get those top hitters as many at bats as possible. Give Luis Robert as many at bats as possible, things of that nature, because of the damage that those guys can do and the opportunities. Like I said, if Vaughn is on base ahead of Luis, and then Robert can kind of trap him on in with what he can do at the plate as well. And so that's the kind of balance that you're kind of looking at on a day in and day out basis when you're kind of trying to construct that lineup.
Yeah, I just selfishly wanted him there. That's all it was, Lamont. Hey, Lamont, it's always a pleasure talking to you. You know I love it, man. You always make me feel a lot better as a White Sox fan because you're the positivity to my mundaneness. So I love it, man. Thanks for hanging out with me this morning, waking up early, all right?
Thanks, Gabe. Anytime.
Of course, Lamont Pope from the Chicago Tribune. Joining us right here on 670 The Score is Hit and Run. My name's Gabe Ramirez, filling in for Matt Spiegel today. And I hear what he's saying. I know people are going to say, I know the rule. Put your best guys at the top so they can get more at-bats. I heard that when I mentioned it to Dan Bernstein, he said the same thing to me, thought I was crazy. When I mentioned it to of course, a couple of other guys here at The Score, they saying the same thing. But, then all of a sudden he's in the sixth hole and he's getting RBIs. And all of a sudden the Sox are scoring more runs. Well, we'll see what happens there. He was in the three hole yesterday for Luis Robert. We'll see what the lineup is going to look like this afternoon when the Sox play the Minnesota Twins. Now, I did mention to you earlier that myself and Shane Reardon, we have our White Sox podcast. It's called Southsiders. You can, if you download the Odyssey app, you can listen to us. We got episodes every Thursday and Sunday. And this really is an unfiltered conversation about this team, which is what the fans are deserving of. And I made a bold prediction. On the other side of this, we're going to play it. I want you guys to hear exactly what I told Shane Reardon and his rebuttal And we'll do that on the other side. And it's about the worst pitcher on the White Sox rotation right now. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
This is Hit and Run on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
Is this what Matt Spiegel is playing on his show? Loki, this is one of my favorite songs. Bobby Brown, Every Little Step. I can't sleep at night. I toss and turn, listening for the telephone. Shout out my sister who would listen to stuff like this Saturday morning while we were cleaning the house. My mom would be trying to put on some salsa, and then my sister would throw on some Bobby Brown. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel. We are live and local today on 670 The Score. And I'm coming in with my hot takes, man. Lance Lynn is bad. I mean, and the good thing is this. This is the best thing, Caesar. This is the best part about it. It's not a hot take that I'm making the day after he poops the bed.
Is it a hot take if everybody on your text line is agreeing with you?
Well, that's the because that's the thing. Now it is. Today. After the game, that's what it is. But if you say it on Thursday before Lance Lynn pitches, now that is when you're doing some work right there, ladies and gentlemen. So again, Shane Reardon, executive producer of Parkinson Spiegel, is my co-host on the Southsiders podcast, which we do twice a week. If you got the Odyssey app or just Google or, you know, saying Spotify, whatever, Apple, listen to the podcast. And these are the kind of things that we say on there so that way we can put the team into perspective. Go ahead and Caesar, hit him with this beautiful audio that was taken on Thursday.
If you're eating innings in the playoffs, it's because we need you to eat two because we're probably losing that game. You need someone to be in there though, so you don't blow your bullpen out, right? So that's where you need Lance Lynn from. Look, all I'm saying is this. If you want to go back to the argument, it's very simple. You're not going to go to a five-man rotation in the playoffs. You're not. It's just nobody does that. And unless you're the 2005 White Sox.
Hey.
So that's the only way you're going five-man rotation. So with the four-man, Lance Lynn is out, and he's going to eat your innings up in the middle. And if you want to get that second baseman, like you said, or the left-handed hitter, you have to give up some assets. You have to.
That's not Ronaldo Lopez. Like Ronaldo Lopez is not going to return a like Ketel Marte in Arizona or
why not?
What's his face?
Your assumption is that he's a reliever. Your assumption is that he's a reliever.
He is.
And my thing is someone's going to take him and be like, no, you are starter like they thought you were. And we're going to put you to pitch five or six innings.
See, the conversation we were having there was about Lance Lynn and how he's not going to make. They're not going to make the playoff rotation. And I said it at the beginning of our podcast on Thursday before he pitched. And I said, you got Gio, you got Cease, you got Kopech, and Cueto just pitching that well. And so I told Shane, I said, but what you're not going to do is go to a five-man rotation. And that's where Lance Lynn comes in. It's unfortunate. And he brought up the fact that he just signed a two-year extension for a ton of money. And he goes, and that was his argument. Gabe, it's about the money. Caesar, I don't care. It's not my money.
I was just about to say, it's not your money, right? But it is a lot of money. They still owe him, I believe, let me see here, $17 million next year?
So what? I'm hosting the Jack Daniels Lounge at Mas Flow this festival all weekend. And I'm sitting there, and I'm supposed to be hosting, and the DJ starts doing my job. And I literally just sat down. And I was like, I'm getting paid no matter what. You want to do this? By all means, do your thing. That's how Lance Lynn should feel right now.
It's actually $19 million, thanks to our buddy Bruce Levine texted to let you know that it is $19 million, actually. $19 million next year is old.
Never feels good saying these takes when you know Bruce Levine's listening. Because he's probably thinking I'm an idiot right now. But it's okay, though. I think it's okay. It's like we were talking on Lamont Pope a second ago, and he said, but Gabe, it's his history. It's his track record. Well, guys, people hit a certain age sometimes. That's why you don't give 30-something-year-olds, you know, five-year contracts, because you know that there comes, that regression hits eventually. It's okay, though. But I do want to encourage you guys to go ahead and listen to the Southsiders podcast. What I've learned is, I was trying to play a different clip. Caesar told me we couldn't play it because we cursed too much.
It was hard to pull that just clip we just played. You guys swear a lot in the podcast, which is fine, I guess, but not for our era, obviously.
It took me a couple of weeks to drop a F-bomb in there. But when you're hanging out with Shane, it just flows off the tongue a little easier. He doesn't care. Shane doesn't care.
Or maybe when you're just talking about the Sox, right?
And that's the beauty of the podcast. That it's not some number crunching podcast. It's just two guys. And then if you watch the clip, I'm drinking wine out of the bottle. I said it's like a cider, Caesar.
At least it's not a box.
Could you imagine that? If I'm holding a box up in my head. That's what I'll need if the Sox lose this game today. Dylan Cease on the mound going up against Chris Archer should be a great one. And then leading into the All-Star break, home run derbies this weekend. Are you a home run derby guy, Caesar? Is that something you watch and follow closely?
You know, of all the All-Star spin-off competitions, whether it be basketball or, you know, football even has those competitions, I think the one that I really, truly enjoy still is the home run derby.
Really?
It's still gimmicky, right? But it's still cool to see these guys just, you know, bash the ball. And they're going to have a time limit. So I'm interested to see how old man Pujols does in his time limit. Because, I mean, the guy's 40 years old, right? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how he does.
But he knows how to put the bat in the ball, put it in the air, let it carry.
But it's timed. That's the thing. It's all timed. So he's going to be gassed, man. He's going to be gassed.
Going up against Schwarber, who we know can crush the balls, having a fantastic year. All right, let's go through these lines. I know we got a couple of minutes left. Let's go through these matchups. You got Schwarber versus Pujols in the first round. Who you got there?
I got to go Schwarber. I think Schwarber, if I could pick with somebody to win it.
You're such a Cub guy.
I mean, but no, the guy's killing
it. If Javi Baez and Rizzo were in this thing too, I bet you'd have them winning the first round as well.
Oh my God, if Javi Baez was in it, I'd take Javi all the way.
I love it. He's Cesar Perez. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is 670 The Score. All right. Pete Alonso versus Ronald Acuna?
I got to go with Pete Alonso. The polar bear. I got to take the polar bear.
Yeah. Even after he hit that the game-winning sack fly yesterday on you guys, on the Cubs. Okay. Juan Soto, the number one story in baseball right now, going up against Jose Ramirez, the White Sox killer. I wonder if he's going to wait till he has one strike to hit all these all these pitches out there. Who you got there?
I got to take Soto. He's got something to prove now. He just turned down almost $500 million. He's got to show everybody why he did that.
Okay. Corey Seager versus Julio Rodriguez. You're going Corey Seager.
No, I got to take J-Rod.
Really?
Man. J-Rod's tearing. I mean, right now he's got to be Rookie of the Year, AL, right? J-Rod?
His forearms are enormous. Like, when you're talking about hitting the ball deep, like, dude got some power there. He has like a, I don't know, reminds me of like a Julio Franco vibe, kind of. All right. So then you got Schwarbs versus Soto. Who you got there?
I'm going to ride Schwarber. I think I might ride Schwarber the whole way. I'm not going to
lie. I don't even know why I ask you these questions. I know. I just told you, whoever the Cub is, that's who you got in there. All right, Pete Alonso and J-Rod.
I think J-Rod's got the upset there.
And then J-Rod and Kyle Schwarber is your final. Who you got there?
I think Schwarber's going to put on a show. I think he's been doing it already. I mean, and I know anybody who's been paying attention to baseball in the first half knows that Schwarber's been put on a show already.
True.
He's going to put on a show in a home run derby for sure.
And the final of his show, if it were up to Cesar Perez, would be him ripping off his Phillies jersey to have a Cubs t-shirt underneath, wouldn't it?
I'm back, baby. I'm back.
It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. Got a fantastic show lined up. And when we come right back on the other side, I do a show on Saturdays on the BetQL Network. It's called Chalk Talk. My executive producer is a number cruncher, so good at this kind of stuff, but he's also a Mets fan. So we're going to talk to him about the Cubs-Mets series that's been going on this weekend, but he's also going to tell us some games we potentially could be making some money on. Zach Kroll from BetQL joins us right after this. I'm Gabe Ramirez. It's Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.